Hello, Saints. Good to be back with you again on this nice fall day. Let's go to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much, Father, for putting us on the road, on that narrow and straight road, Lord, where you work in us to get rid of the, separate us from sin and the world, and Lord, just getting rid of our flesh and making us that Son of God that you want us to be. That's all of us, and I praise you for it, Father. I ask for your anointing upon us today to get this word out about the road to Zion. And Father, I praise you, and I thank you for all that's accomplished today. Bless us today. Bless the people out there, Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Well, let's start out in Psalms 125. Verse 1, they that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. Now, that's an important aspect of what Zion is, who the people that live there are, because they trust in the Lord. These people who live up on Mount Zion are people of faith. Now, Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. But the people up on Zion are people of faith. They, verse 1, are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. Listen to this, folks, what it says. It says, cannot be moved. The power of God that resides in those people who walk by faith and who abide in Zion cannot be moved. It abides forever. Praise be to God forevermore. One of the attributes here of the people that live in Zion is real clear, folks. It's faith. You know something else that's proven in a person who has faith? That's what the Bible says in 1 John 3:21-22. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And if our heart condemns us not, a person with faith is a person who's walking rightly before the Lord. They're walking by faith in God. They're not walking in the world, and they're not loving the world. And the very fact that you see here that faith is an attribute of Zion, holiness is also an attribute of Zion. Holiness is an attribute. Some people want to have faith, but they don't want to depart from their sin so they can have a bold conscience toward God. Faith and holiness, folks, go hand in hand. Holiness means set apart, separation from the world, separation from sin unto God. Now he goes on to say in Psalms 125, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from this time forth and forevermore. Now, I want to tell you that one of the attributes of Zion is that they are protected by God. They're counted as precious by God and protected by God. It's a place of safety. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, Zion, over in Micah chapter 4, is also called a tower. Micah chapter 4 and verse 8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem, a tower of the flock. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And if you run into the tower, into that strong tower, that's abiding in the name of the Lord, which is the nature, character, and authority. Because that's what the Hebrew word for name means. If you abide in the nature, the character, and the authority of Jesus Christ, folks, that's a place of safety. That is the tower. It is Zion. You see, that faith also gives us this provision of safety in the Lord. And we're going to need to be in that strong tower in the days ahead, which is the safety and the provision of God. And it goes on to say in Psalms 125, verse 3, "For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous." Well, the scepter of riches, of wickedness, this is a sign of authority. The authority of the wicked will not rest upon the righteous. The authority of the beast system that we've been talking about will not rest upon the righteous, those that are abiding in Zion. Then it says, "That the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity." Verse 4, "Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts." And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 2, "Righteousness delivers from death." Folks, it delivers from the dominion of the curses of the world. It delivers from the dominion of the wickedness of the beast kingdom over a person. Righteousness delivers us from death. There is a provision in God. Praise God forevermore. Now let's look over into Psalms 15. And that's a good description of that also. Psalm 15 and 1. "Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart." Well, who is it that abides in Zion, in the Mount of Zion of God? It's those that walk uprightly and work righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. How many people are out there lying to themselves in their heart? How many people are justifying themselves before God in situations? How many of them are denying the word because they got their own self-will? And people who have their own selfish desires most of the time pervert the word of God so that they'll be all right. They'll be fine. Where do all these perverted doctrines come from? Well, I'll tell you, at the root of every one of them is somebody's self-will. Psalms 15 and 3 says this, "He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, these are the people who dwell in Zion." It's a place of holiness, a place of sanctification and separation from the world. Then over in Psalms 24 and 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood." Well, once again, we're back to the same thought here. Multitudes of God's people are lifting up their soul and falsehood for what they have as a perceived advantage. There is no advantage, obviously. The only advantage in the coming days, especially during the tribulation, is going to be abiding in Zion. That's when the people are accepting the truth and not justifying themselves. Over in Psalms 24 and 4, he said, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into falsehood, and hath not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Well, praise be to God. We see that the righteousness spoken of in Psalms 125 is borne out in other places in the Word. The people that are going to abide in Zion are these righteous people. And we know that the first fruits, that come to Zion are going to enter into that at the beginning of the tribulation period. And the reason for these first fruits coming to maturity at that time is because God is sovereign in all things. And he is to bring the rest of the crop to fruition in him. And another thing that Zion represents is the leadership of God's people. Psalm 78 has a few words to say about that. We know that there was an old Zion, an old unregenerate Zion, a fallen away backslidden Zion that had to be destroyed. It was destroyed because of the apostasy of God's people and its leadership. But then we know that this daughter of Zion is born again Zion, the born again man, the person who is walking in God's direction and under his true leadership. Psalm 78:67. Moreover, he refused the tent of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. And Ephraim he's talking about here is the northern 10 tribes that were in apostasy and they were worshiping the golden calf and on. He didn't choose them. 68, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. Well, obviously, Zion represented the place of the presence of God. These people were all around about the temple. They were, in a form, the temple of God. Psalm 78:69. And he built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth, which he hath established forever. Then verse 70, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. You know, when David began his ministry of ruling over the spirits of sheep, he'd already taken care of natural sheep in a much smaller way. Remember the bear and the lion? In verse 71, from following the ewes that have their young, he brought him to be the shepherd of Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he was their shepherd according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. Well, we know that the Lord is raising up a bunch of Davids around the world to rule in a spiritual Mount Zion. And they are, by God's grace, like the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not found vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He said, I am what I am by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are, by God's grace, by his gift, are drawing near unto God. They're overcoming trials, preparing to partake of what we see here in Psalms 125, partake of these benefits of the kingdom and walk in the attributes of Zion. They're coming on the scene like in Isaiah. Look at Isaiah 1:26. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town. Well, who's he talking about here? Zion. If you go back to verse 21, he says, how is the faithful city become a harlot? And he speaks of old Zion there. She that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers. Those people became persecutors. Unregenerate Zion, apostate Zion, became the persecutors of God's people. And he brought destruction to them. But then he makes this promise that he's going to restore thy judges as at the first. Now Zion will become a faithful town again. Born again Zion, the daughter of Zion. Verse 27. Zion shall be redeemed from with justice and her converts with righteousness. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing what Jesus said to Peter. He said, when thou art converted, he'd been walking with him for 3.5 years, Peter had, Luke 22:32. when thou art converted, turn and strengthen thy brethren. That's the King James Version. What conversion is he talking about? Is it the accepting Jesus as your personal Savior? Is it the immediate result you get when you get saved? No. Conversion here is talking about the whole ball of wax, so to speak. It's talking about the manifestation of Christ in you. And so he could say to Peter, even in those days, that he was going to fail, which he needed, because Peter was real self-confident. But he also told Peter that when he was converted, to turn and strengthen the brethren. Well, obviously, God is continuing to work his conversion process in each one of us. Isaiah 1:27. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her converts with righteousness. But the destruction of transgressors and sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. 29. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. In other words, they're idolatries. The daughter of Zion, born again Zion, is going to represent this born again new leadership for the people of God in the days to come, just like when Jesus came on the scene. Because Jesus was a sign of the man-child ministry in our days. When he came on the scene, a new leadership that God had prepared for the Son of God living in the Son of Man. Isaiah 7 says this is a sign or an omen of something to come. Folks, the Son of God is coming in his people, and they're coming in his first fruits manifested as the Son of God, manifested in the Son of Man. Emmanuel, God with us. He's coming in all of his righteous people who bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Well, glory be to God. That's something to shout about, ain't it? Not only are we going to get new leadership, we're going to get new hearts. We're going to get a new life in Christ. The Lord is going to manifest himself in his people like the world ain't never seen since Jesus Christ. Going to be walking, talking, Jesus is walking out there. Except it's going to be all over the world. Everywhere the church is, God's going to raise up this Zion. Folks, the manifestation of salvation to the church is going to come out of Zion. Psalms 14 and 7 says, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. The salvation of Israel is going to come out of Zion. These people who have been given the grace of God to manifest what we discovered Zion is. It's faith, folks. It's holiness. It's safety. It's righteousness. And it's the true leadership of God who can give salvation away. But someone who already has it, who can lead people through the wilderness but somebody who has already been through the wilderness? That's what the Lord's doing right now. The Lord is preparing us, for us, a new leadership in the days to come. He's preparing not only the latter rain in the leadership, but the truth to go forth as light in the darkness. We're coming to a great time, folks, and a great move of the Lord Jesus Christ is right on the horizon. Let's look at Ezra chapter 6 and verse 5. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon. Babylon is a parable in the scriptures about backslidden religion, the bondage to the beast, and on and on. We, folks, are the gold and silver vessels of God as we mature and bear the fruit of Christ. Verse 5, and also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought in unto Babylon, he restored, brought again unto the temple, which is at Jerusalem, every one to its place, and thou shalt put them in the house of God. God's people, who are his vessels, were taken in bondage to Babylon. And that's a type of apostasy, a type of bondage to the flesh, and a type of love of the world, so to speak. They were taken to Babylon. But God says, let them be restored to the temple, the real temple. In other words, this is the stage of our life. We go astray as soon as we're born, the Bible says. And it's true, we begin to follow after religion. We begin to follow after carnal ideas about God. We've got a new spirit, but we've been taken captive. And as we pray, and as we seek the Lord, and as we humble ourselves through the Word of God, and as we grow up in the knowledge of the Word of God, as God gives us true leadership, we come out of Babylon. We strike for Zion. We head towards that place of holiness and righteousness and faith and truth. Not only did Israel go through this cycle of losing their Zion, being taken captive to Babylon, and being restored to Zion, and rebuilding the New Jerusalem, but we're going to go through that too. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, the things that happen unto them are for our admonition upon who the ends of the age is come. We're going to go through that same cycle that they did. You know why? It's to bring that gold and silver vessels back to Zion, to put it in the true temple of God. Ezra chapter 5 in verse 14 says this, and the gold and silver vessels also of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought into the temple of Babylon, those did Cyrus, the king, take out of the temple of Babylon. You notice that now the command is different there. Before it was saying that this was going to happen. And now, here's the command, is going forth to bring it to pass. Folks, I think we're closer now. We're closer to this being a reality. The Lord is fixing to bring this to pass. He's about to bring forth the first fruits leadership for the people of God again. And it's all by His grace. The tower of the flock, folks, is spoken about in Micah. Let's look in Micah chapter 4. We see that multitudes of people from the nations, Gentiles, were coming to Zion, coming into the city of Zion. Folks, that's talking about the church. It's a parable about the church. Micah chapter 4 and verse 7. And I will make that which was lame a remnant, and that which was cast far off. You see, it's grace. He was making a bunch of lame people strong here. Verse 7. And that which was cast far off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. Verse 8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the hill of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come. Yea, the former dominion shall come, the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. He calls it the daughter of Zion in verse 10, Micah 4 and 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon, and there shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Well, folks, that tower of the flock, of course, represents a place of safety. Thebes is the place of safety for the people who fled from Abimelech and his people who were out there trying to destroy him. It was a place of safety. Zion was always a place of safety during the time of the beast, during the time of their attacks upon Israel. The people of God from the surrounding areas, man, they'd strike out for Zion because it was a tower of the flock. It was a place of safety. And folks, in these days, there's a great threat against the people of God. And it's going to be that the beast is out to conquer and make war on the people of God. Well, there is a place of safety. There is a place of holiness and a place of provision. And it's Mount Zion. God is going to bring multitudes of people back from apostasy, back from the place of bondage in Babylon, to his born-again city, the city of God that Paul spoke about, that they would come to back in his day in Hebrews chapter 12. Now, let's look in Isaiah 35 for a moment. Isaiah 35 and 1, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. Well, we know the wilderness from Revelation chapter 12 and Revelation 17 is the tribulation. It's called the wilderness. The woman went into the wilderness. Well, the woman there is the church, as you probably already know. Not natural Israel, but the church. The woman went into the wilderness, and there she was fed of the man-child, and she was protected from the dragon also. Verse 1, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Great fruit is going to be born to God's people in the coming wilderness, folks. You know, there is a road to Zion, but the road goes through the wilderness. And it's a lot like when God's people were being delivered from the bondage in Egypt, right? They didn't jump right straight into the promised land. They had to go through the wilderness. And that's exactly what's about to happen to God's people. God's people are going to go through a wilderness experience, but they're headed towards Zion, praise God. They're headed for their capital city, the city of God, the city of the presence of God. And that's where we're all headed, right? Isaiah 35 and 1 says this, the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful, that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Well, obviously, in the wilderness, that's exactly what God's people were going to need. They're going to need his salvation. They were going to need God's deliverance and his preservation, his healing, and all of those things. Now, I want to show you something. Did you know that the word in the New Testament for salvation is translated that way in all those different forms? God is going to come, and he's promised this. He said, don't be of a fearful heart, because he's going to save us. Isaiah 35 and 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Y'all remember that when the man-child ministry started in Jesus' day in the Gospels, that's exactly what happened. Jesus did something that was unheard of. I'm talking about the healing of blind eyes and the deaf ears becoming open again. Abundantly. Not only is that going to be true physically speaking in the days when the man-child ministry starts to bring God's people back to Zion, but it's going to be spiritually so also. That ministry is going to restore spiritual eyesight and spiritual hearing to the people of God. Verse 6, then shall the lame man leap as a hart. Again, both physical and spiritual. God's able to make his servant stand, he says in Romans 14. I believe it too. Isaiah 35 and 6. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Folks, a desert is a place where there isn't a whole lot of provision. But God's wonderful provision is going to be there for all things. Verse 6, streams in the desert, and the glowing sand shall become a pool. Folks, that's a mirage there. You see that? The word is mirage. Verse 7, and the glowing sand shall become a pool. Well, when you find a mirage, you find what you thought was a pool, right? Well, it's really just glowing sand. But what he's trying to tell us here is the opposite. If you perceive the mirage in the days ahead, it's an imagination, right? It's going to become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. That's how our imagination works anyway. It works with our faith. I see it out there. I don't care what you say it is. I see water. God's provision is going to be in his desert. And it's not a deception that people go out there and find themselves in need because what they thought was a benefit was not there. Instead, it's going to be just the other way around. The people are so afraid that they're going to be left in the desert to the mercy of the beast and the harlot and the great destruction in the tribulation. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. The opposite is going to happen. Those people that walk by faith, that are on the road to Zion, the very opposite is going to happen. Isaiah 35 and verse 7, and the thirsty ground springs of water in the habitation of jackals where they lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. That's the highway of holiness. Well, folks, in the wilderness, there is a way of holiness, a way of separation from the world, because that's what sanctification means. Holiness and sanctification, that's the same word, hagiosmos, and it means separation from the world. And you can imagine it if you're in the wilderness. It is separation from the world, but that's what this wilderness represents. It doesn't represent a physical desert somewhere. It represents God's people separating from Egypt, those things that they have trusted in, the flesh pots of Egypt, separating from that, going forth to trust in God in a place where there's no natural preservation, there's no natural sustenance, and there's no natural help. And as you know, God did a bunch of miracles for them out there, and that's where they learned to trust in God was in the wilderness. And again, that's what this wilderness is all about. That's why God is bringing his people through there to go to Zion. You can't be holy without learning to live in a wilderness. That's living by faith in God. The righteous shall live from faith. And that's what we discovered. That's what Zion's all about. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, folks. If a person has faith, there ain't nothing in the world the devil or the flesh can do to those folks. They're going to be overcomers. They're going to be conquerors, praise be to God. Isaiah 35 and 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way. You know, all through the book of Acts, it was called the way. To walk in the steps of Jesus was called the way. And that's what they called it. And it goes on, it says, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, the wayfaring man. Yea, fools shall not err therein. Folks, God's going to separate the sheep from the goats, isn't he? This highway of holiness, some people are not going to be able to walk on it. They might start out with you, but they're not going to end with you. But while we're looking at this wayfaring men, let's look at Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 8. That says, the highways lay waste, the wayfaring man ceases. Literally, it says, he hath broken the covenant, yet despised the cities and regards not man. That word wayfaring here is a traveler on a well-traveled road. That's what it means, a traveler on a well-traveled road. In other words, it's a broad road. That's a wide road of destruction. And what he's saying is that destruction is going to come to the broad road people. Not the narrow little road to Zion, not the little narrow road of holiness, but the broad road, the wayfaring people road. The highway lies waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He, it says in the original, hath broken the covenant. Let me say it again. The highways lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He hath broken the covenant. The people on the broad road are the people that are breaking the covenant. The eternal covenant that the Lord Jesus made, and he never changed it. Even up to our day here, he never changed it. Nothing has passed away. Everything is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God forevermore. Multitudes of Christians are going to discover that they were lied to about the highway of holiness and about the covenant. The covenant breakers are on the broad road that leads unto death. Multitudes of them are not bearing the fruit of Jesus. Isaiah 33 and 14 says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. Who among us can dwell with a devouring fire? In other words, this fiery trial. He's talking about the fiery trial we walk through. To walk with holy people and to walk on the road of holiness, that's impossible for men who want to walk in the flesh and that are wayfaring men on the broad road. They're fearful and unable to walk by faith. Then verse 14 again, the sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless ones. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? 15, he that walks uprightly. Well, here's who can do it right here. He that walks uprightly, or righteously, and speaketh uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppression, that shakes his hands from taking a bribe, that stops his ear from hearing of blood and shuts his eyes from looking upon evil, he shall dwell on high. Folks, that's Mount Zion. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, or it's the stronghold of the rocks, a place of safety, right? His bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. Sound like the people in Zion's going to be provided for, don't it? Because it's a place of safety and a place of God's provisions. Then verse 17, thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. Well, Mount Zion. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar. Thy heart shall muse on the terror. Folk, terror don't mean nothing to those people. Verse 18, thy heart shall muse on the terror. Where is he that counted? Where is he that weighed the tribute? Sounds like what they do in church, right? Where is he that counted the towers, steeples? Verse 19, thou shalt not see the fierce people, a people of a deep speech that thou canst not comprehend, of a strange tongue that thou canst not understand. Well, folks, these people are not going to face the armies of the enemies who attack. Let's go back over here to chapter 35 in Isaiah. Isaiah 35 and 8. The wayfaring men, yea, fools, shall not err therein. That's the highway of holiness right there. Number 9. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. Well, ravenous beast here is talking about the beast of mankind. The beast that's making war on the saints according to Revelation 17. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. There is a return out of bondage to the beast on the highway of holiness. Now, they hadn't arrived at Zion yet, but they're on the highway of holiness that goes to Zion, which goes through the wilderness and goes to Zion. Well, what's the Lord saying here? Well, that's a place of safety too. Not just Zion, but the highway of holiness is a refuge too. If we walk by faith in the Lord, we don't know everything. We don't understand everything, but we're walking by faith, right? We're walking by faith in Him as our Savior, and we're not walking in the flesh. But we're trusting in the words of God. We're trusting in the promises of God. And what God is saying is there is a place of safety that goes through the wilderness and goes to Zion. Folks, Zion is that place of maturity, of perfection, of bearing the fruit of Jesus. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Praise God. A place of great joy. That's where Zion is. It's a place of perfect provision, a place where their bread will be given them and their waters will be sure. And people worry about God providing in the wilderness. Well, He's going to do it. He's going to provide that manna out of heaven. He's going to provide that water out of the rock. And He's going to do it in a miraculous way. But He's going to provide for His people. In chapter 36 in the original, because there wasn't any 36 then, and it went right on, He says, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Judah and took them." Well, here we are. We're connecting chapter 35 and 36 there with what we were talking about earlier. That is, here what we're talking about. That this particular beast conquered everything but Zion. God used this beast for an end time beast because they conquered everything but Zion. They weren't able to conquer Zion at any form or fashion. They kill some of Judah, they kill multitudes of Samaria, and the nations round about, but they weren't able to conquer Zion. So we're seeing a connection here. You seeing it? Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came and took Judah. Not Zion, but Judah, the fortified cities of Judah. Isaiah 36:2, "And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. He began to delineate his threat," folks, "to the people of God in Zion. Because he said in verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you." These people do this all the time. "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of these countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand?" Well, he was sitting there bad-mouthing them, wasn't he? We done beat all these other people over here. We're fixing to take you too. Well, but God, right? The truth is, God is the true God of Mount Zion, of the daughter of Zion. He, folks, is the true God. He's their God, and they are His people. Then Isaiah 37:21. Here's Isaiah. "Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent unto Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee." Folks, this is a holy people inhabited by a holy God, and they're laughing at the beast in the wilderness here. They're laughing because their God is the one true God. And it wasn't any kind of a problem for the beast to conquer the other people, was it? These people, but, live in the presence of God. And that's where we need to go to find our provision and our safety. Verse 31 of Isaiah 37 says this, "And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Mount Zion they that shall escape. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And that's the people that will escape the war that's made on them by the beast in the future here. Isaiah 37:36, "And the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when men arose early in the morning, behold, these were all dead bodies." And what God's saying to Hezekiah, that represented the man-child who went up on the third day into the house of the Lord. Isaiah 38:6, "And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city." Folks, we need to head to Zion, don't we? That place of God's holiness, faith, provision, and safety. Let's get up on Mount Zion, as the psalmist said. Let's go up to Zion. That's the city of our God. We want to be there, don't we? We need to be holy because there's no curse on holiness. God's raising up a beast to put the fear of the Lord in his people so that they'll run for safety in Zion. That's the tower of the flock. And when we go there, there's no curse upon the people. The curse is a motivator, folks. It's a motivator to bring us to God because we want out from under the curse, right? We want the blessings of God. And that's what Zion represents. That's what the road to Zion represents. The place of God's provision, blessing, and protection. The road is the road of faith. Zion is the place where faith is manifested. This, of course, is the provision of God. It's a place of safety. Folks, I'm exhorting you and encouraging you to run after the Lord with all your heart. Absolutely surrender everything to him and run after him with all your heart. And you'll be provided for, protected, healed, delivered, all of those great things that God has done in the past for his holy people, he'll do for us as well. Well, God bless you. We'll see you next time, God willing.